Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by two HR professionals who want to get you through the workday by saying all the things you're thinking, but say them out loud. I'm Warren.
And I'm Patrick.
All right, Patrick's back. Yay.
Again.
We were just talking off air. So many things going on in the world and our lives and everything, but I wanted, start off by once again thanking our supporters. I'm actually doing some new ways of supporting our podcast host. Buzzsprout is allowing you to have set up a thing sort of like Patreon, maybe even a little bit better. If you click in the links, there's a show note link. You can support us directly through Buzzsprout, and that just goes to pay our hosting fees. So if you're interested in that, you can do that. But you can still be a Patreon supporter, buy us a beer, leave a review. We haven't had a review in a very long time, guys. So give us a review and share a story or tell a friend. But like I said, you can be like Hallie, our original Jaded HR rock star, and we'll say your name at the beginning of every episode. Oh, and I think about things. Maybe we shouldn't use the term rock star after
that. That's why I giggled.
Sorry, this ad. Okay. Today's the Monday after the Super Bowl. And so Workday, not sponsored. I had that. I thought it was a pretty good commercial with all the rock stars.
Okay, I missed a lot of the Super Bowl, but I did see that commercial, I think twice. And I was like, that's kind of funny to see some HR payroll stuff in there, and it was like actually a good commercial concept, but
it was well done. I liked it, but I guess am I being a boomer by calling people rock stars? I don't
there
know.
There's a lot of other ways you could be a boomer, though.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It did make me laugh because like I'm pretty sure we've used that word a lot on Jaded HR. We probably even had an episode. I felt like we had an episode title that had to do with rock star at some point.
Who knows? I'd have to look through it all. When you're talking about episodes, we are coming quickly upon our 100th episode. Whoever thought we'd make it that far, and are beginning our season 4, and both are happening within just a couple of weeks. So, wow.
I think it's a real accomplishment.
It is. Hey, we've done it. All of us have done it. So it's been a lot of fun with that. But if you'd like your name shouted out at the beginning of each episode, go ahead and give us some support, and we'll use it to continue growing the podcast.
It doesn't have to be supportive either. Like you can talk shit and we'll still say your name.
Oh yeah. Leave us a shitty review.
Anything is
so far the only Apple review that gave us one star didn't leave any comments behind it. Whoever you are who left the one star, I would have read that.
That is fair,
But all the rest of our reviews have been 5-star reviews. So hey.
Leave a 1-star. At least give us something to read and like talk about, That's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Performance review. Tell us why you're only giving us one star.
Yeah, it needs to be smart. I don't remember what all those things stand for.
Specific, measurable, attainable, R. What is the R? Realistic and time-oriented.
Yes, timely.
There we go.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah, smart and challenging.
You clearly do smart goals, Warren.
I've clearly taken so many EHR and SHRM exams that I've memorized all those stupid things that have nothing to do with the developing smart goals.
I need to find, I saved a bunch of pamphlets from a SHRM conference a while ago. And one of the best one was like comparing workers to different like angry bird types, which I'm sure I've mentioned on the show before, but I would love to find that and be able to read them out loud. I think it'd be very funny. Like we're talking 15 years ago, probably.
Yeah, this year, the state SHRM conference is nowhere near me, or not really not nowhere near, but not close enough for me to bother going. But when it comes back to
is it at the homestead?
Our area, No, not this year. They're doing it somewhere in Richmond.
Ah,
so in Feathers' backyard there. But I'm not going to go out there for that. But when they come back to the Hampton Roads area, I'll go again. And they were supposed to be there the year of the C word, and didn't quite make it. And so we got sort of skipped in that room. But I still haven't been to a national SHRM, and don't think I ever will go to a national SHRM unless they want to pay me to speak.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
If anybody knows anybody, let Warren know. You could have a Jaded HR session.
Yes. So we mentioned earlier, talking about the Super Bowl ad, today is the day after Super Bowl. And in my news feed today, and I didn't put it on my screen, so I'm reading it off my phone, Fox 29 Philadelphia, today they put a post. The title of this news article is Super Sick Monday. Record 18.8 million Americans may miss work after Super Bowl, survey suggests. And this is by Kelly Hayes of Fox 29 Philadelphia. But they cite that in an estimate released by the workplace research firm, the Workforce Institute, based on an online survey of more than 1,200 employed American adults, most of whom work full-time, 74%, at a physical workplace, 60%, and identify as a people manager with at least one direct report, 62%. The survey found that roughly one out of every five U.S. employees, an estimated 26.6 million people, were likely to miss at least some work on Super Bowl Monday or the so-called Super Sick Monday. This included a combined record-breaking 18.8 million employees not planning to work and 7.8 million who said they plan to start work late. So, wow.
It's a big deal. I found it.
I have an office. Oh,
I found it funny that my son's school had a teacher work day today. I was like, well, that's convenient. The day after the Super Bowl that they would have a closed school day for all students. So
was it pre-planned?
Oh yeah. They let us know, but there's also one next week for President's Day. So I found that interesting.
President's Day. Oh yeah. Yes. I need another holiday in my life pretty soon. And that's our last federal holiday until Memorial Day. So it's going to be a long hump to get over. To get
my last one was New Year's, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wah.
We get 11 holidays, yeah. And that brings up a good point. You know, so many people, you're not obligated to follow all 11 federal holidays. No company is. And many companies don't. I just happen to be working for a government contractor, which without the government open, there's not a lot of work to be done. So
that's true.
We have no, we were debating whether to observe Juneteenth or not, or substitute Juneteenth for another holiday and keep it at 10. But we're like, well, our number one client isn't open, so there's not a lot of work to be done. So we went ahead and said we'd observe it after that came out. But we have an office location in Philadelphia. Actually, from the window of our building, you can see you can't see the football stadium, but you can see the hockey arena, because that's first if you're looking across I-95 there. And Philadelphia schools were on a two-hour delay today planned in anticipation of winning the Super Bowl. So I thought that was very interesting.
I mean, they greased all the poles in Philadelphia, I'm sure, like, because people climb them and do all kinds of crazy stuff. So,
yeah, they have a little bit of a reputation for getting carried away.
You haven't watched the game yet, although probably hard to avoid that at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm not a big pro football fan. I've seen maybe two full games other than this all season long, and bits and pieces of others just being here, there, everywhere. But interesting.
If companies offered like floating holidays, which I think is a really cool concept, that people would use that for the day after the Super Bowl.
I if that's what your thing is,
or that'd be more of a PTO. Like, is a floating holiday only used like on a holiday that maybe just isn't observed, but it's still a holiday? Or is it like, hey, I'm gonna make Super Bowl Monday my holiday?
I think it depends on the company. Where I work, a floating holiday is if you were required to work, say, on President's Day for any reason, or you were on travel and you couldn't observe the holiday, you can float that holiday. Where my wife works, they have what they call personal holidays to get, I don't know, two or three personal holidays a year. And those are things for whatever you want them to be, your birthday, your anniversary, Super Bowl, things like that. So they have personal holidays, which is kind of a cool concept. We don't have anything like that, but
cool.
Or, you know, just use PTO. But by all means, people, don't call out sick the day of the game. Go to work, damn it. Or plan it ahead. Say, hey, you know, I'm gonna get completely sloshed Sunday night, so I'm not gonna be here. So people can plan. It's the whole not being there. It's, you know, calling in at the last moment. Oh, can't come in today. I'm hungover. Whatever.
I used to be a supervisor at a big logistics chain, and my co-supervisor on my line, if the Redskins lost, that I knew that he was going to miss that Monday. And it was like, it was perfect. If they lost, he was not going to be there. And that followed almost 100% consistency through like my 2.5 years there. It was very frustrating. That was a hard job to supervise by yourself. But
yeah, and that time frame with the Redskins was probably not the best of time frames.
I mean, you can just look back the last 30 years and say that.
Well, because Super Bowl, did you see Doug Williams in the Super Bowl? I know it's been 30 years since he won it, but he's looking a little rough.
Think so? I thought he looked all right. Like, if I get out there.
I was like, wow. Yeah. I thought he was looking a little rough. But, boy, we're taking this all over the sports world today. What? But one last thing before we move on. My brother lives outside a major metropolitan area that has a team that won the World Series 1 year. And the year they won the World Series, the next day they were doing the parade, and apparently, and he sent me a news article, something like 40% of the teachers in the local school systems called out sick to go to the parade and made school be canceled for no reason. And in his position, it was mission critical, we'll say, for people to be there, but they couldn't be there as they now didn't had to care for their kids to be at school. And oh boy, he raised a fuss with the city, you know, city council, the board of education, all that about, you know, you can't allow this, but they have such a strong union. They basically gave him the bird figuratively and said, no. Yeah. But yeah, he was not a happy camper immediately after that. Not only because his own kids couldn't go to school either, but he made it to work at that day. So crazy stuff around sports.
Yeah, it's not worth it sometimes.
You know, if like East Carolina won the NCAA football champion or baseball championship, I might miss a day or two of work. I missed a couple of days to go to the regionals and super regionals this year, or last year. So, and baseball starts in 4 days. College baseball season, so. Yeah, looking forward to that. Anyhow, let's get off the sports subject for a little while. Maybe we'll meander our ways back into that.
That was our little Super Bowl Monday break. Break from your usual podcasting, yeah.
A good time filler. No, we have a couple of good topics to go over today before just freestyling like that. So this came from BuzzFeed, which, as Patrick was telling me, they get all their sources from Reddit, and they did cite Reddit. So this is a funny situation. This company, and I don't think they ever named the company, but on the anti-work subreddit, the user Come and Go, I guess I'd say, they were sent an email accidentally from a company they were interviewing with. And the email reads, interview with the candidate's name. Here's a candidate my team likes, and as an alternative to blank, if he does not work out, blank is looking for 55 to 60K. She lives in blank. I think she would accept 53K. She's committed to a second interview with you. I'm sending over her resume. So, and they accidentally CC the candidate, basically saying, yeah, we want her. We're going to lowball her on that. So I don't know. There, some of the of course, on Reddit, some of the best things are not necessarily the actual posts, but the comments.
Always, yeah.
Well, Adept Car 9997 wrote, when interviewing, I had to deal with complete idiots offering me less than what I currently make. 3 rounds of interviews to find out they wanted to offer 20K less. Why in the world would anybody take that? The anger from employers, recruiters, when I would laugh in their faces and turn it down. Ridiculous. M's 420. I had a recruiter tell me I'm never going to find a job at my current salary range at the time, and I need to take a 35K pay cut. I think at the time I was making 85K. We'll try and pick and choose some of these, and some of them are long. A similar thing happened to me too when I was out of college. I had a bachelor's degree in computer science, was asking for 40K, which was considered a decent starting salary in the area I was looking for, even though it's low as fuck in my field overall. Recruiter told me I had to take had to take 20K. I stopped responding to them and got offered more than what I was asking for a week later when I ditched the recruiter. That was MG0. Oh, this is the follow-up from the original poster. I went to the second interview and told them I saw the email. They apologized and told me they were embarrassed, etc. I told them I felt they wouldn't have my best interests at heart if they were already undervaluing me, and I didn't want to continue forward with a team that's likely to stab me in the back. She continued, HR sends texts asking me to continue forward and called me apologizing, saying that's not how they do business, and if it was them, they'd be pissed too. But I think that was more damage control and the other person declined. I told them the fact that it was offered by the person who would be my boss means they would not be looking out for me if I took the position. It also speaks volumes about the company's HR is apologizing on the director's behalf. Shortly after this interview, I took another job that pays more than the 60K. So anyways,
does that make HR look bad if HR has to play the damage control portion, or does that like say?
I would hate to be that HR person doing that damage control. That sucks.
I am just trying to think if that.
But I think that's sort of life.
Does that buy into the, HR's already diminishing reputation, especially on Reddit? I don't know.
I mean, if you're not going to ghost the lady, I'm assuming it's a lady, ghost the person, you've got to respond somehow. The cat's out of the bag. You can't just ignore it. You got to say something about it. And I guess apologizing is the best alternative they have. I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll bounce right into this because this is from the LinkedIn Lunatic subreddit, and it kind of goes along with like recruiters and ridiculous. And this is a very short LinkedIn message thread that someone got sent a message. And the message was, I'm guessing from a recruiter, "Hi, blank, great implementation background. I am working with a leading SaaS-based platform in the construction space, seeking an implementation manager. Great hiring manager, remote, interested? Talk soon." And the person responded back, "Hi, blank, sure, I'd love to hear you out." The next response, "Hi, do you have implementation experience?" It's just like, are those bots? Because I get stuff on LinkedIn all the time. Am I like, is that a bot thing where there's just like all these different recruiter things are just sending out these spam things and with canned responses?
I really can't answer that. I would think LinkedIn does it. I get ridiculous, I don't want to say job offers, but jobs to look at online. Yeah. And most of them are. The other day, I got offered a customer service manager. Someone contacted me about a customer service manager on LinkedIn. I'm like, that fits my resume to the T. Why, what, how? I think it's lazy people. Just click. They got to cut and paste. They click on a profile, cut, paste, click, profile, cut, paste.
They maybe forget who they're responding to and that kind of thing because they're trying to cold call basically on LinkedIn.
And the worst is, if you have your job on your resume on like a career builder or a monster, I took mine down years ago. Mine should not be existing on either of those platforms, but I still get emails. "Oh, I found your resume on career builder." I'm just like, and they're the dumbest things in the world. There's not even been one. I was like, "Ooh, this is even close to something I'd be interested in." I don't see myself leaving my job anytime in the foreseeable future, but I do look just to see what's out there, and I'd share it with friends if it was actually something decent to go out there. But
your boss, big listener.
I don't think she even knows about the podcast. I do not know. I don't advertise it at work. but I don't hide it either. It's on my LinkedIn profile.
Fair.
And my boss is on my LinkedIn, and I've posted some things on my Facebook. And believe it or not, this is the only time I've had a boss that's been a Facebook friend of mine, which I know is against my own personal whatever.
I don't friend anyone I work with.
Yeah.
I had a coworker a lot of times, if I have a good working relationship with someone, once they leave, I'll add them on Facebook. And so I did that with this one lady, and then she got rehired, and she actually messaged me back. She's like, "Hey, do you want me to remove you? Because I know how you feel about this." And I was like, "No, it's okay. Oh, you found the loophole. It's good. Like, I know how much you wanted to be my Facebook friend, even though I post literally never."
You don't post anything. No.
I let my wife do that. She tags me. She's very good.
Well, when I was working with you, there were a few of us that were Facebook friends towards the very end, because we were trying to coordinate things, and we used Facebook to coordinate tough mutters and things like that.
That was probably after we all stopped working together, though.
I couldn't tell you.
That would be against my principles. I don't think I'd break that even for you.
Oh, thanks. But anyway, that was an interesting story. I got another company to talk about. We talked about this offline a little bit ago about our favorite gaming software company, Activision Blizzard, who has just given, podcasts like ourselves, if there's any other that are up to our standards of just shitting on HR, shitting on stupid companies that do stupid HR things. But Activision Blizzard made the list yet again. And actually, I don't disagree with this. This comes from PC Gamer magazine in January 24th of 23. Brian Birmingham, he was the lead engineer on World of Warcraft Classic. He refused to give an employee a low evaluation in order to meet a quota introduced by Blizzard in 2021. The process called stack ranking requires managers to give about 5% of their employees a low performance evaluation to fit on a bell curve of relative performance. According to Activision Blizzard sources who spoke to Bloomberg, a low rating reduces an employee's profit sharing bonus and could hamper them from receiving raises and/or promotions in the near future. Blizzard executive leadership justified the policy by claiming it will squeeze the bottommost performers as a way to make sure everyone continues to grow. He also said that he was asked to keep the policy a secret from employees. IBM used this in the 1980s through 2012. Microsoft used it until 2013, when they found employees would conspire and sabotage each other's projects. According to Birmingham email, others at World of Warcraft leadership asked if they could meet the quota by giving themselves a poor rating, but were told they couldn't. So forced rating systems to make it fit a bell curve. You're literally putting a square peg in a round hole. I don't like forced ratings. I don't like you can have a budget. This is your budget. You can divvy it up however you want. So you can't give everybody the most, you've got to fit it into your budget. I like things like that. I did work for a while at a company that they had ABC rating systems, and it almost was a similar type thing where they didn't want you to have more. You could have more. There was no forcing. But they didn't want you to have more than like 5% of your employees be A's. The majority of your employees should have been B's. And C's were the ones that were either in their first year or they were going to be managed out. And so if you got two C's in a row, you were let go.
Wow.
And that was their system, but nothing was forced with it. So, but the guidelines were only, there were no guidelines for C's, but the guidelines for A is that it should be no more than 5% of your staff. And I guess that makes sense. And those are the people that are growing and grooming to move forward in the company. But it's an interesting thing. I don't think that a developer for a game such as World of Warcraft, which is probably one of the best-selling games in history, or it's not even selling, it's a free game. It's a freemium or whatever you want to say.
Best grossing games, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. It's something like that. It's not going to be too troubled in finding another job. But I do like they stood up for his employees and stood up against it. He even volunteered give himself a low rating so his team could get higher ones. That's, I mean,
it's commendable, but bad system.
That's a bad system. Bad HR, bad system.
Bad HR.
But Activision Blizzard, yeah, they're not seem to past a year and a half, 2 years of being known for good HR. Like,
I just
shredding, having an HR shred party. Let's shred all the these incriminating documents. And admitting to that you had a shred party.
I Googled them. They are hiring a couple of HR jobs. They're looking for a culture manager, which sounds like they do really need.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could. I was listening to another podcast. It might have been HR Famous. I'm not sure. But they were talking about culture. Companies only hire culture managers and things like that when their shit hits the fan. And now they got, you know, put this person. Oh, look, we're going to change. This person's going to lead us to the righteous way. And all that other stuff, and then they give them a year or two to let it fade out of memory, and they can the culture manager.
Fair, yeah.
So
I'd collect a paycheck just for that for a couple of years. Be fine.
Yeah, if they pay, I know I wouldn't want to be responsible for culture.
But that's what HR does. HR drives culture, Warren. You know this.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you want to think. That's what all the employees think. It's HR's responsibility. No, not quite. We can be pretty good at stamping out bad culture, but we can't, or we can be a tool in stamping out bad culture, but we can't necessarily make good or bad culture ourselves.
Speaking of good culture, can I share one more LinkedIn lunatic?
Oh, please.
Because this is more of like an oversharing thing. And can I just say, listeners, I'm going to say some words here. Please don't take my voice and then put it into something else, like a TikTok out of context.
Oh, God. You've just asked them to do this. You asked somebody to do that.
Any exposure is good exposure. I like to watch porn. Yeah, I admit it. And I'm sure many of you out there have seen your fair share. But why am I bringing this up? For two reasons. One, because no topic is off limits. And two, because it's important to be aware of indulgences in your life. There are some things that need to be done in moderation. For some, including myself, porn is one of them. Be very aware of things that, if you do too much, cause more harm than good. Carry on. Someone posted this to LinkedIn.
And do they have the open to work circle around their name?
They have investors how to grow digital real estate portfolios in their name.
I like porn.
I just like, why? I mean, I don't know. It's just such a, LinkedIn is such a weird landscape. I didn't realize that there was a thing called a LinkedIn influencer was a thing.
Yeah. LinkedIn is getting just as bad as all the others, the Facebooks. It's not professional anymore. I see all these stupid Facebook-orific type posts and things like that. That's not what I'm there on LinkedIn for. I'm hoping to find, connection. I want to find some people to, you know, follow and read their posts and their stories. I mean, John Hyman's a perfect example. I was following his blog before I ever jumped on LinkedIn, but I follow him every day on LinkedIn because he posts every day and he's got great content. And that's what I go there for. I don't want to go for your kids' bullshit. I don't want to go for your religious right. bullshit. I don't want to go for. I just want to see what I do and what I want to see. And,
you want to see John Hyman's, you know, his take on the most recent porn. You know, that's what we're all looking for.
Oh boy, yeah, that's too much. Yeah, oversharing is. You know, I don't think oversharing was a problem in the first. I don't know, 10 years of my career, but, and maybe it's because I just grew into more and greater responsibilities and having to deal with greater bullshit, but oversharing is a real problem now. And I think it goes in long lines, bring your whole self to work, which I do not want you to bring your whole self to work. I want you to bring your work self to work, compartmentalize that shit. And I don't want to know about your kid who's been on probation 18 times. And I don't know, all this other.
That's just reminding me of
stuff. I don't want your porn habits.
This reminded me of a very funny. I actually had this literally happened today at work. And so we I work at a university and we have like an accreditation. We have the SACS accreditation. I don't even know what SACS stands. South.
Oh, or, if you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
But it's
Southern Academic
Accreditation services. Sure. Yeah, doesn't really matter. But anyways, with SACS. Yeah, so, and we're going through that at the moment. And so someone had one of my lovely HR coworkers, we were all in the office today for our envelope stuffing party for the Affordable Care Act letters that we do every year. And one of my coworkers had a call with their campus president and asked, oh man, what was it? Oh, did you have your SACS today? And I just stood up afterwards. I was like, are you making sure that our campus presidents are having protective SACS? And she it was just one of those things where we all stood up. We're like, did you just ask a campus president if they had had SACS today? And just, it was just a very funny moment.
HR can be very, extremely inappropriate. When this lady I work with, she's always, I don't want to describe her as a gossip or a pot stir, but she's got something going on along those lines. And then she goes, oh my God, I'm saying this in front of HR. I'm like, I don't give a shit. You know, she always, oh my God, you're here. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I think we've all heard that. So I was like, shh, HR's here.
HR's here.
We're always here. We're just listening.
We're the boogeyman. But all right. Well, I think this is a great episode for today. Best practice, make sure you get your SACS.
make sure you have,
I guess,
you know, safe consent SACS.
And you can watch plenty of porn too. You could like your porn. So once again, please support the show. There's any number of ways. Look in the show notes, follow our link tree, leave a review, etc. The intro and outro music is done by the Underscore Orchestra. Double the Devil's the name of the song. And our voice artist is Andrew Colpo, who does an awesome job. So as always, I'm Warren.
I'm Patrick.
And we're helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time.